fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue today what began yesterday, talking about Paul's exhortation and Paul's encouraging words, reminding each and every one of us that we're chosen by God. Chosen to become what? Children of God, sons and daughters of God. And that truth, if it gets internalized in our hearts, it is transformational. It gives us a profound sense of security and identity, fills us with hope and confidence. And so I was reading from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 and following yesterday, and didn't quite finish. I wanted to pick it up again today, but I'll just read it, because just in a few lines, St. Paul articulates what's at the very heart of Christianity. What's the source of our life? What's the source of our hope? Who we are? Our relationship with God? He just beautifully summarizes it here. So verse 13, we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God chose you from the beginning to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You could write a book on what's all packed into those few sentences. So Paul's rejoicing, he's giving thanks because he knows what God has done. He knows what God has done in each and every one of those he's writing to, those who have heard the gospel. He says down here that God called you. How do you know you're called? Well, if you hear the gospel and you believe it, that is the good news about Jesus, and Jesus is coming in the flesh, his life, passion, death, and resurrection, and the meaning of his coming, if you believe that by his death and his resurrection, his ascension to the Father, and the outpouring of the Spirit that comes as a result of Jesus' returning to the Father and having all power and authority that belongs to him, that if you believe that, he's done that, and that by his sacrifice, you can be saved. And believing in him, that is, the initial response to the proclamation of the good news, is the assent of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Yes, Lord, I believe. I believe that I'm a sinful man, and I believe that I stand in need to be reconciled with God the Father. And I know I can't do it on my own. And I know that it's through your passion, your death, your resurrection, the outpouring of your blood, your sacrifice on a cross, that has cleansed me of all sin. I believe, Jesus, you came to take away sin. You came to take away my sin by becoming sin for me on that cross. You died the punishment that was mine. You paid the price for our sin. And it's you on behalf of the Father, the pure and holy one, who can forgive us of all of our sin. Believing in that good news, that Jesus takes away our sin and he makes us a new creation through being baptized. That is, as Jesus said in John's gospel, unless you're born again by water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus has come not just simply to die on a cross, which is the heart of the matter, but there's more to what he's done. And there's an even fuller reason or implication to his dying on the cross. That death on the cross deals with the sin problem that in my life produces the death problem. Death comes through sin. All men sin, therefore all men die. Jesus came to deal with that sin problem, which produces the death problem. He deals with the sin problem on the cross. He takes away our sin. He forgives us of our sin. And so the penalty of sin is taken away. And now we're in a position, we're in a place where God, the holy God, can come and dwell in us. Because this is what we need. You might say it's like the second half of what Jesus did in that one act of love. What he made possible was for the life of God, God himself, to come and dwell in you and in me as in a temple. We share in God's eternal life. Death no longer has its sting and dominance over us. But the power of death itself is taken away because the power of sin and sin's consequence, which is death, is taken away by Christ. He passes through death. He enters life. He passes beyond death into a whole new way of being. And the human race in Jesus is a new thing. It's a new creation. And it's existence beyond death. Jesus makes it possible for us to share in his extraordinary, mind-blowing existence beyond death in his glorified humanity. We're going to share what's his, to live an eternal life as a child of God with the Father. And that all begins now. And that's what Paul's rejoicing in. He's saying in verse 14, I know you've been called to share in this because the gospel came to you. You were called through the good news that was preached to you. And when you respond to it, it's not simply human, just your will that says yes, it is, but it's responding to grace, to God's action in you, giving you the gift of faith to believe. And saying yes to Christ is a sign, it's a clear revelation of God's call, his personal call to you to become his son, to become his daughter. And why has he called you? And why, as Paul said, has he saved you through sanctification by the Spirit? As he said yesterday, in baptism, you are made holy. Your sin, as I was saying, is dealt with. God comes to dwell in you. You're set apart for God. You're made holy because the holy God comes to dwell in you. It's a gift of God that we walk in, that we live in. And he says that through that sanctification and through belief in the truth, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth about God the Father. He's the truth about who God is, that God is a loving Father, that we're made by him, for him, that we belong to him, and that our home and our ultimate eternal destiny, our complete fulfillment, the longing of our heart, everything is fulfilled in that relationship. We're made complete in entering the family of God. And that happens because Jesus gives us what belongs to him. It's his sonship. It's his relationship with the Father, which is so, it's the greatest gift anyone could ever have. It's the most powerful source of identity that's humanly possible. Friends, we're searching for idols all the time. We're reaching out, trying to find things that give us identity. My money, my power, what I've accomplished, what I possess, what I look like, how big my bank account is, the car I drive, the neighborhood I live in, all these things that, these become idols for us because we invest so much of our identity in it. In fact, it's sort of like we design ourselves, you might say. We clothe ourselves in things like this, and we find a certain amount of happiness, especially when we compare ourselves to other people. Say, wow, you know, I'm pretty special. And none of that stuff, it's idolatry. They're idols because they're secondary things that we make first. They're good things that we put in the center, but they're actually below our dignity because we're called to be with God. We're the image of God, fallen because of original sin, battling with it because of concupiscence, because the ongoing reality of the work of the flesh in us and the temptations of the world, the flesh, the devil, all of it, we can be seduced and fall into it. And we lay hold of counterfeit identities that never quite satisfy us. This is the source of your identity. This gift of God to become your chosen one, your beloved, you were called. It's very good to say that about yourself periodically. Say it every day. I'm called. I'm chosen. I'm beloved. Who am I? I'm a son of God. Who am I? I'm a child of God. That's the source of my being, the source of my dignity, and the ground of my identity. Lay hold of that. Beg the Holy Spirit to let you understand what that means and to live in it. Paul goes on to say, and he's so delighted, he's just rejoicing, and he's saying, you were called by the gospel for a purpose. For what's that purpose? So that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what you see is both identity and destiny in this little passage. Your identity and your destiny. Your identity is that you're a chosen one, you're beloved by God, child of God, called by God, and your life is headed somewhere. It's destined for something. What is it destined for? To obtain something that Christ possesses, the glory of God. It's now the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're made to possess that glory and to share in it. That's your destiny. So if you say, where's my life headed? My life's headed for glory. I'm bound for glory. I don't need to be filled in this world with anxiety and fear and loathing about life and where it's going and a sense of hopelessness. But no, you can claim, and this is what the Holy Spirit is going to help you with and give you a renewed mind. He wants to help all of us see. Paul takes this up in Colossians, in another passage. He names it. He said, he had made the word of God fully known to you. He said, the mystery that was hidden for ages and generations has been made manifest to the saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles, that is, the non-Jewish world even, who've come to Christ. He said, to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery. What is this mystery, this glorious mystery that Paul is, he can't stop talking about, he ends up getting killed for it. But day and night, he just goes wherever Christ sent him to proclaim the good news about what Christ was offering. And what is this, the riches of this glory, this great mystery? It's Christ in you, Paul says, the hope of glory. It's not an idea that exists outside you. It's Christ, the person of Christ, risen in you, alive. And what it becomes for us is the ground of hope. What is hope? I've said it so many times in this program. It's the confident expectation of the fulfillment of your life, the fulfillment of your destiny. You are a child of God, and if you die in Christ, you die a child of God, and you enter into the family of God for all eternity. And it's not boring. It's sharing in the glory and the majesty and the absolute freedom and the beauty and the power of God. He gave you power to become a child of God. St. Peter would say, we share, become partakers of the divine nature. Do you know the drama and the story that's being lived out in your life? Do you realize who you are? Do you realize what God has done, what he's made you, and the meaning of your life? Your life isn't just work here on earth, or it's not just drudgery here on earth. You're a creature made in the image of God who's fallen and been stained by sin, and your mind has been affected. My mind has been affected. It's not easy for us to see who we are, but Christ has come and given us a new heart and made a way for us. He made us something new, something real. He made us children of God. That becomes the source of our whole life and orientation to all of our existence. I know who I am. I know where I've come from. I know God. And I know my destiny. So I know my identity and I know my destiny. And in between that is my fundamental purpose to live in this life, to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, to love my Father with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love my neighbor as myself, and to do everything I can to join Jesus and the apostles and others to help make disciples of all nations, to help bring every single human being into this beautiful mystery, this reality that's unfolded in my life. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.